there is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live at the Yellow Dragon Turtle Podcast. This is your host, Igor, and as always, it's me, is my co-host, Niksha. Say hi, Niksha.
Hey there.
It's been a hot month again, hasn't it?
Quite hot, yeah.
So yeah, we've been away for a while, because scheduling was a bitch, and you had some work-related things to do.
Well, a while is like an understatement.
Literally a month. Tomorrow's gonna be a month.
Well,
basically, when we upload this, a month.
Well, yeah, but you did have an episode without me.
That's the one I mean.
Oh, wow. That's yep. Really a long time.
Yep. We're bad at this. Luckily, we're not getting paid for this at all, so,
uh-huh.
You know. So we can slack off as much as we
can. I mean, even if we were paid, I think we'd still be bad at this.
If we were paid for this, we would stop being paid, I think. So, Niksha, how has the month been?
Pretty... Well, let's go with stressful.
It's, work or?
Because the game launched. And yeah, that's about it. The game launched, finally.
Yeah, game launches are usually a bit stressful.
So yeah, I'm not gonna go ahead and suggest people to buy it because I'm a man of high moral standards.
But I'm gonna suggest you buy the game because I'm not a man of morals, and actually, it's a good game. So
I mean, I have high morals, just like Tiberius, the Drakerith avatar that is the king of all Drakeriths.
Now, you might wonder what the fuck is a Drakerith, and that's a legitimate point. You should just go on Steam and buy yourself Ageborn to find out.
Yeah, I mean, the game is just... It's just buy to play. You pay it, and all the content is, you know, you just play to get it.
I'm impressed that actually there's a bunch of famous streamers liking the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to hear.
Like, people who aren't paid to shield the game like you are.
Yeah.
Actually, like the game.
I ain't paid to shield the game. I'm paid to do things for the game.
And also shield the game, I'm gonna go
with. Sure.
But yeah.
Anyhow, enough of our shilling. Let's get down to business. So, in the past month, what have we actually missed?
A Commander of the Week or a month?
Well, we can go with that. Commander of the Month, I guess.
So, Niksha, what is your Commander of the Month? God damn it.
Well, I'm gonna go with Captain Sisse. Because I remade Captain Sisse. And I did it with the because of the Heliod thingy. And, yeah, I have to say that it works fine. Not as good as Paradox Sisse. But still, you know, you just pack some people, hope they don't play anything. And let me just tell you that God Pharaoh's statue is doing all the work all the time.
Ooh.
If anybody doesn't know what God Pharaoh's statue is, it's that 6-mana legendary artifact that makes your opponent's stuff cost 2 more. You see, one of the biggest problems with stacks is that you sometimes overstacks and then you stacks yourself. Well, God Pharaoh's statue is there for you. It just stacks the opponents. Easy.
Sounds like a perfect card for me, because sometimes I do overstacks myself.
It's a perfect card for Sisse because it's legendary. If it weren't legendary, I wouldn't even consider playing it.
Yeah, but It is super legendary, so you can actually do it.
Well, it's just a regular legendary, so that's good enough.
But yeah, we actually played against one another in our pods for the league. Games are fun. Games are fun, except that one game that you know. Which one I mean?
Oh, whatever. That game was okay until the end.
Yeah, it was actually super fun, but I'll keep the salt for later. It's fine.
Nah, we can just keep it with the we had fun.
Yeah, basically, I mean, whenever I play against you, that's actually fun.
Woo!
Because you make games interesting.
So what was your commander of the month?
I have basically played with a bunch of the decks back home. Did some changes for Alesha that I'm hoping will be good for the league. Took a couple of combo cards, put in a couple of discard synergy things like Bone Miser to see how that works.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because I put the Bone Miser in, I put back Oppression and Torture Existence because I love those cards to death, and I can play them now.
Woohoo!
So I'll see how that actually works. I had a game, two games out of three in my pod against Niv-Mizzet. What is the Thrasios set? I can't remember who's the other partner.
Thrasios, not Timna?
Not Timna, it was Metapod.
So it was Thrasios, not Crown, but it was... was it the Ikra Siddiqui?
No, it was one of the guys, and Robbie was playing Godo because, to quote him, I want to have 15-minute games. Spoilers, we didn't.
Because... Spoiler alert, red player cast Cyclonic Rift.
Oh yeah, that was the best interaction ever. So, a guy who was playing the Metapod cast Cyclonic Rift. Robert responds with reverberating that, so everybody got their things yanked away. That was funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, those games are fun and interactive and last longer than they should have, so we didn't have time to actually play all three of the games at the pod.
Yeah, but the third game isn't gonna happen. I don't think it's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen eventually.
Eventually.
What I wanted to say before we go, I had a major blowout when playing against Tess yesterday.
What did you do?
Oh no, I did actually a good play, which was Fire Covenanting her board. And paying like 6-7 life to do that. Unto which Tess modern / legacied me / pioneered me / standard me and casted Veil of Summer. So I lost like 6-7 life and then I lost like 5 more. Because she was attacking me. I was like, you know, I'll do that in her attacker staff to blow her out even more. Oh no. No. Teresa Veil of Summer is a fair card. Tess is right beside me and grinning.
I mean, it's just the same as the Veil of Autumn. Only, you know, Veil of Autumn doesn't draw a card.
Yeah, except she just drew a card. That was the just biggest punch in the balls I could have gotten. I was like, it's good that green has a counter spell and a card draw and a protection spell in one.
Yeah.
I'm happy for that.
Let's be happy for green.
Basically. It's like the first protection, but it draws your card.
Pretty good.
Like, I was like, why did this happen to me?
I think that you made a mistake.
By playing a game of Commander?
Probably.
Holy crap, that card is good. So, you know. But yeah, we're carrying on to actual subjects of the matter.
Sure, let's.
So, what is the first thing you want to start with?
So... in our time away, we missed Unsanctioned. That's coming out like
2 days from now. One day when this gets out.
Well, let's say very soon after this episode is live. But like, do you care?
Does anybody?
I I'm not sure.
If it were draftable, I would care, but it's not, so...
Yeah, it's just a bunch of...
People, yeah, for those people who want to play this, go at it, have fun. But, yeah, you know.
Yeah, like, this is, like, literally not the product for me. Because the whole premise is that you take two precons and smash them together and play like that. But, you know, I can't do that with the beginner decks.
The I think that the biggest appeal to it is those fancy lands.
Yeah, the fancy lands, and you know, you get to play with fancy funny cards. But you know, fancy funny cards are funny cards for like a couple of games, and then they're just, you know, they're cards. Yeah.
They're cards that you can't play in any other format.
I mean, they did put in Paper Tiger, Rock Lobster, and Scissors Lizard.
You mean the ultimate way to decide who goes to play first?
Yeah. So I would agree that that is actually a super valuable reprint, because they're actually playable. I mean, not playable,
usable.
But usable.
Usable. Yeah, that's the word. So that's a product. Also, what we missed was the gods, right? The secret lair.
The secret lair gods, yeah.
So, all 15 of the former Teros gods got that wonderful constellation art.
Yeah, they look real nice.
They look really nice. I don't need any of them.
I only need the Karanas for...
I reckon that Tess would like to have Purphoros, but, you know.
She doesn't need it.
I mean, it's gonna kill me one way or another, so...
It's gonna kill you pretty or not.
Let's just see how much he is, to see if I can... Oh. It's one of these. No, show versions. But, yeah. Oh, it's just... Price trend is just 37 euros. Oh, okay. Isn't that, like, basically the whole... Yeah, it was the whole box.
Yep.
Whole box minus the taxes and the tolls for the customs.
I mean, yeah, the whole box would cost you, like, plus 25% more. Probably even more than that.
Which is still a fucky thing, because they require you to, you know, pay money for taxes already on the site. And everything.
Yeah.
And so you still get charged.
They can actually cost quite a bit.
And they will cost a bit, but... But yeah, that was the product that came out, and they all look really nice. Sadly, you can't get them anymore, because it was a one-day thing, as with all secret lairs.
They'll probably, like, do a, like, a repeat of them at some... Well, we don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Most likely, no. But want to talk about the new secret lair? The one that's actually going to be, you know, current?
Well, I wanted to actually mention briefly that when they announced that they're going to do 5 secret lair drops, I was getting all excited, like, 5 secret lair drops? Well, there are 10 fetch lands, so 2 fit in each box, but you can't just put 2 cards in, you can put in 2 shock lands as well. So that's like, or even pain lands, I don't care. Just, like, put 2 more lands with them. But to complete a cycle of 5 times 2. And it was like... So let's do the math. So it's $150 for a set of 5. If they're fetch lands, that means you need 4 of them. So that's $600 without the tax. They would receive per player that actually wants the fetch lands. That's a lot of money. And there would be a lot of people that would dish out $600 for such a product. Like, $600 to be covered in literally every format in Magic, except Pioneer. Sounds like a good deal.
However,
they did the God thing, and I was like, yikes.
They still might.
Oh, they still will. I mean, they have to.
Because money.
Money and, you know, reprints. Like, where else are they going to reprint fetch lands?
Not in standard.
So fetchland reprints died for the sins of shocklands, and not shocklands but dual type lands.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, on to the what's the latest secret lair drop?
Secret lair International Women's Day 2020 for $50. You will get. I can't say nice because I don't like the art, but alternate art, borderless, 5 cards. Captain Sisay that we mentioned like a minute ago. Meron of Clan Neltot. Narset Enlightened Master. Una the Queen of Fae, and Saskia the Unyielding. In 10 days, 21 hours, and 1 minute, it's gonna drop. It's for $50, and if you want these cards, get them. Personally, I don't like the art. Especially not for Saskia, because she looks so tame here.
It's a nice way to represent these. It's a nice way to represent these cards like this, but. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the art, but you know, they're borderless.
And just a small nitpick that I usually hate on fantasy arts, you know what I also don't like on Saskia? That axe. The head is way too big. Historical axes would actually be a bit smaller. I'm a huge sucker for historical accuracy, that's the problem.
Oh. it's a cool thing. Well, let's hope that they'll do fetch lands for Planet Earth Day.
What I'm actually hoping that's gonna happen for Pride Month, that they'll do a secret lair drop and that Alesha will be in there.
And Tassigor.
Was Tassigor actually queer?
He can be.
But actually on Alesha subreddit, also hi people from Alesha subreddit, we have actually been talking about this, and there's apparently a huge swath of people that could be in there. So, imagine this, KNT, Alesha, Ashio, Kyaheni, Ral, Tomik, Carthatic Union with Chandra and Issa, and Tyrus Tracker.
No Chandra and Nyssa, come on, man.
Why not?
Because there's that one book that specifically said that no.
No, the book said that she prefers big brawny guys, but something is special with Nyssa, so she likes that. But it was
it's
the cringiest...
It's their friendship.
Was it?
Their friendship.
I actually saw the quote like yesterday, and I was like,
It's still their friendship.
Okay, whatever you say, buddy. But imagine some of these cards being in there.
Would be cool, yeah.
Also, you know how imagine Alesha being printed? Imagine Alesha, but in... You know those Cro-Magnon wall arts that Cavemen did?
Huh.
Imagine,
interesting.
Imagine that style.
Yeah.
I would fucking love that. And if they actually make a secret lair drop with Alesha, I'm embarrassed to say I will actually buy it.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Well, I don't think that there's any secret lair drop that I would be like super hyped for. I'm always super hyped for alternate, like completely new art styles.
That's why I said something like wall paintings for Alesha.
Yeah,
actually be super interesting.
Like that Inkai's.
Mm-hmm. That was wonderful. Holy crap.
Those kind of things. I'm a sucker for those.
Yeah, because it's actually something special.
Mm-hmm.
Because this looks nice, but you know. Yeah. Not my jam.
Well... But speaking of gems...
Yes?
There is one more product that came completely out of nowhere. And I'm still not sure what's going on. I mean, I know what's going on, but I'm not sure. So it's Jumpstart. And like, just like, out of the blue, they announced Jumpstart, and it's like, what? Where did this come from? So, what is Jumpstart? It is a draft? Let's...
Kinda?
Kind of a draft. Well, it's not a draft set, because there are 20-pack boosters that you just take two boosters, mash them together, and play like that. So with 20 cards, you get a 40-card deck, which means that each pack has 8 to 9, either 8 or 9 lands in it. So, you know, you get that 17, that draft recommended 17. And you just play with them.
This actually sounds really interesting, this set.
It sounds interesting, and the interesting part is that it has only 37 new cards and almost 500 reprints.
I'm really okay with that one as well, yes.
Well, we'll see what kind of reprints they are, but I'm thinking that a lot of them will be standard reprints, because the game will be available on Arena.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the part that bugs me and a lot of other people, I think. So it introduces 37 new cards to the game that will not be standard Pioneer or Modern legal cards. They're legal in Eternal formats like Legacy, Vintage, and Commander, and for some reason in Historic. The Arena-only format.
Yeah. I'm not sure what or why.
But yeah, it's a draftable set that's going to go to Arena, and that's kind of cool. But yeah, the 500 reprints sounds really wonderful, so we'll have to see.
It sounds wonderful until we actually see what they are.
Yeah, it's still a way away.
If they print, you know, 500 version of Squire,
I mean, they do mention goblins, walls, cats, Phyrexians, pirates, and unicorns.
And Garruk and Doctor.
Yeah, that too.
The pre-release is, when does it say? June 21st, if I... Yeah.
Yeah, June 20 to 21st.
I most likely am interested to actually go and play that on that one.
I mean, the pre-release is basically just, you know, get two boosters and you get to play.
Yeah.
How expensive can two boosters be? Come on.
Well, Niksha.
Well, then. Niksha.
I'm glad you ask.
Welcome to the world of no MSRP.
We will actually see, but I hope they don't overprice it.
I mean, they're... Yeah. Let's hope.
We shall see. We will talk about it in time due.
I mean, what do they follow when designing these cards and deciding rarity? I mean, they can't build it for a draft environment because it's not draftable. So what do they do? Maybe they will actually see, like, good cards and this set to be, like, a good set to just, you know, buy and play. We'll see. Interesting nonetheless.
We also have some Ikoria talk, right?
Not
much,
bit.
But... Which is actually weird, because it's like a month and a half away, something like that.
Yeah. Next month we'll start seeing... So in like 5 days we'll start seeing some spoilers.
Yeah. It's funny when you say next month and we're already at 26th of February.
I mean, PAX is soon. Like, tomorrow.
Yep. Oh yeah, it is.
So I'm expecting some spoilers there.
But yeah, we have seen pictures of the packaging of Ikoria. Apparently, what Niksha said, brushwogs are gonna be a thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I still say that's Nicol Bolas in furry form. Because of the horns.
No, brushwogs. There's gonna be brushwogs, I guarantee it.
Don't you go be judging Nicol Bolas on his persona.
I am not judging him or anyone, and I have no proof that we're gonna have brushwogs, but I'm sure we're gonna have brushwogs.
Also funny, Niksha, because I judge a lot of people.
Yeah.
But in my defense, they deserved it.
Okay, so we also have a confirmed Vivian in the set.
Hooray! We needed more Vivian because they're balanced. I'm just making a joke. Vivians are actually fine.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, Vivian is one of the rare green cards that are actually balanced.
Unlike Nissa, right? Because remember the first Nissa? How really unplayable that one was, and now look at the one that shakes the world. Two completely other sides of the balance scale. We also have packaging for the commander. We also know the names of the commander decks for Ikoria, which maybe I should have dug.
Yeah, I completely forgot that we actually got the names.
but we have the packaging for one of them, and it says it'll include legendary 4 foils.
So I'm guessing 3 from the set and 1 returning?
By the way, the names are Ruthless Regiment, Arcane Maelstrom, Symbiotic Swarm, Timeless Wisdom, and Enhanced Evolution.
That sounds like 5 Simic decks to me.
I mean, the Swarm could be either something like Golgari, maybe Abzan. The Enhanced Evolution most likely is Simic.
Mm-hmm.
Timeless Wisdom something like Jeskai?
Or just Blue-White.
Yeah, or just Blue-White. Arcane Maelstrom can be...
Jeskai. Red. It's red and blue. It can be Izzet.
And Ruthless Regiment...
Black-Red.
Mardu? Or maybe Mardu.
Or maybe Mardu.
So who knows? When does actually that thing launch?
With
in
Ikoria.
April, right? Oh, in April, yeah. Holy crap, that's actually quite soon.
Mm-hmm. And that's the major commander release of the year.
Mm-hmm. It's actually still super weird that it's gonna be so early.
Yeah, I mean, because of the whole Commander Masters. Commander Legends.
It's more of that because we're used to having it in, like, August.
Yeah, but...
And I'm like, we have the whole summer to... Oh, no, it's coming right now. So I'm guessing I will not be going to Ikoria pre-release because I'll be spending my money on this.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
Yeah, depending on how good the thing is.
I really hope that... Didn't they say for this one that they really actually are gonna include good reprints?
We heard that last time.
I mean, but this one's like for realsies.
Last time we had our fingers crossed, but this time...
This time we're... They're gonna print... doubling season into standard.
I mean, would it do anything?
We do have a bunch of planeswalkers, you know, from War of the Spark still running around.
You do, but it's 5 mana, the doubling season.
But it's standard.
Still.
I'm just saying that, you know...
In current standard, you often die... on turn 5 because mono red.
Not really, because you have this card. It's called Fires of Invention. And it regularly goes, you know, far beyond turn 4.
It sounds like a janky card that only EDH players will play.
Well, yeah, but some EDH players decided that they couldn't wait for for their rounds of Commander, so they went and played Standard.
That's fair enough, honestly. That's fair enough.
So, you know, dropping for doubling season for free and then dropping a, you know, nickel bolas and winning the game.
Honestly, I kind of want to play that kind of thing. now that you tell me. Sure, it's not balanced, but then again, we just had Narset and Teferi in, you know, in standard, so might as bloody well.
Well, we still do.
Yeah, but that's the point. If you can have that, might as well give me, you know, nickel bolas wins and all that. Doesn't that actually sound more fun than just being Teferi and Narset to that?
I remember how this one, once I was playing standard. I was playing against the Fires deck, and they put out a bolas, and they had like three other planeswalkers, and they were like, okay, now I just use D-Spark, the Elder spell. Mm-hmm. They kill off all of their planeswalkers and put those counters on nickel bolas, and I'm like, so what, you win the game? I win the game. Okay, I'll just tap Vivian's Arcbow for 7. Look at the top 7 cards. Oh, look, it's Deputy of Detention. And they were like, but wait, that's illegal. Like, okay, so your Teferi forbids me from casting? Oh, well. Tough luck.
How about I just don't cast anything?
And yeah, that was a complete blowout.
Screw the rules, I have money.
Screw the rules, I have bows, and I'm not afraid to threaten people with them.
Yes, so that's it from these announcements and future things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things look interesting. We have to see how they are going to be. Now we have a topic that's actually entertaining to me. So, Channel Fireball has yesterday released a Command Zone guide for their Magic Fests. Basically, to avoid the problem of, you know, people being pub-stomped in Commander games on their Command Zones, they decided to release this handy-dandy guide on a scale from 1 to 10. How do you rate your deck / playstyle? 1-2 for the fun of it. More interested in a team than efficiency or winning. Just looking for everyone at the table to have fun. 3-4, casual. Trying to win, but with limited resources. Which is actually ironic, because that's banned.
Yeah, that card's kind of banned.
Example of recent precons. 5-6.
Let me just point out recent precons, because those the precons from before are actually like 5-6.
Some. The first precons are a piece of garbage. Then you have something like Dereti.
And then you have the 4-color decks, which are almost 7.
But yeah, 5-6, focused. Powerful card interactions, but few or no infinite / game-ending combos. 7-8, optimized. Lots of infinite / game-ending combos and many powerful cards, but some of the cards are not from the highest tier of commander cards. And 9-10, competitive. Decks pushed to the absolute limit. Only the highest tier of commander / cards are used. Looking to win fast. Now, we have a couple of things to say about this list, right?
Just a few of them.
First, we made fun of the limited resources because we have to. Now, ironically, what I've told the next, and you were like, you know, you make some of the sense. 5-6 focused. Powerful card interactions, but few or no infinite / game-winning combos, right?
Yeah.
Flash Hulk. It has powerful card interactions and basically one combo.
I mean, Flash Hulk also has a bunch of cards that are present in a lot of casual commander decks, like Llanowar Elves.
Okay. But I know they're not actually meaning that Flash Hulk is 5-6. Just you can spin it that way, but please don't be actually the asshole who spins it that way.
Yeah, so that's the thing I wanted to talk about, because, you know, people will decide how they want to have fun, like, always. They will optimize their way to have fun. And let's say that I make a deck, and it's, I don't know, it's That blue guy from Kamigawa, Kami of the Crescent Moon.
Okay.
I have 40 counter spells in my deck. 40 the lands and 18 major mill cards.
Okay.
So basically it's a 1-2 for the fun of it, because the theme is countering spells and people drawing cards. So it's fair. But like, if you sit with a deck that has 40 counter spells and the whole point of the deck is counter spells at a casual table, those people won't want to see you for the rest of their lives. Not in your port. They just don't want to see you. Not your deck, you. Okay? So that's not a 1-2 deck. I mean, it is a 1-2 deck, but don't do it.
Also, another nitpick that I had was 7-8. Lots of infinite / game-ending combos. No, actually, you want to minimize the amount of combos you have in the deck the further you go with the power scale.
Yeah, I mean, you do have some alternate win cons, because if you have a win con that is very susceptible to disruption, you need alternate ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the Sisei, I have my primary win is Heliod Ballista, but if that doesn't work, I have, if the Ballista gotten rid of, I have Triskelion, and if they both get rid of, or if they get rid of Heliod, I'm like, that's it. I don't have that combo, but I do have the Vizier thing combo.
Infinite mana.
Infinite green mana. But with the infinite green mana, there's like not a lot I can do except cast Nylea and draw all my creatures and hopefully find something that works. You know, usually just fetch a Ballista and for infinite, but you know.
I mean, you can always get your Ballista Noxious Grasp, Noxious Revival to the top of your library.
I can also get it exiled and then I tutor it with Karn.
I was referring to some other events, but you know. I'm still salty about it.
I can also just, you know, Finale of Devastation for like a bajillion.
For everything.
Yeah.
But okay, the Magic Fest people are at least trying to make some, you know.
I think that they made the scale of 1 to 10. I don't think it has to be 1 to 10. I think that 1 to 5 is good enough because...
I think 1 to 10 is because it's Command Zone. And Command Zone guys thought of the whole 1 to 10 scale.
I really don't understand the 1 to 10 scale if they're gonna... If the differences between 5 and a 6 are so minimal. Like, I understand that 10 is a round number and you have more variance, but, you know, keeping it to a 5-point scale, you know, we've been graded in school from 1 to 5, so I think that kind of scaling is a lot more familiar to people.
I mean, Nisha, this basically is a 1 to 5 scale.
It is a 1 to 5 scale, yeah. Except for... it's just a 1 to 5 scale.
It's just 1 to 5 scale because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you can just make it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and basically, you gotten it.
Mm-hmm.
But we humans really like when it says, you know, 1, 2 is a round number.
I would argue that 5 is a round number.
Yeah, but not aesthetically.
It's half of 10, so it's nice. It's a nice number.
But doesn't actually sit that well with people
I know, but like 15? 15 is ugly. That's like, get that shit away from me.
But 20, isn't that much nicer?
Yeah, it is nice, but you know, 5, without the number before it, just 5. It's like, people do top 5 lists, okay?
Yeah, but don't top 10s feel much more actually cozier than top 5?
It's different. It's like if you want to explain something faster, use the top 5. If you like want to talk a lot, it's a top 10. But guess what? When you're sitting at a pod and you're discussing power levels, you don't want to talk a lot. You want to say, okay, my deck is a 3. I was like, okay, so...
Speaking of that, Nixon, also one thing I have to mention. One thing that Commander players are notoriously bad at is actually validating their power levels.
Oh, definitely.
Most of people are going to go way above their pay grade.
Yep, people are horrible at describing their power levels.
A lot of people say that they're like a 7. Like, you know, my deck is pretty strong, yeah, and then, you know, oh no, what has happened?
I mean, okay, so based on this, I would say that my Golos is like a 6. I would say it's focused, but the only focus I have is playing random cards. I mean, can I actually call that focus?
You're basically playing good stuff, and that's it. Honestly. And that's fine.
Does that even have a place on the list?
I was gonna talk about a different list. So a guy I'm mates with on Twitter, Robot Remorse at Robot Remorse, made his own list, which is, I think, a bit more accurate than the Channel Fireball one. There's still, you know, room to improve, but you know. So, Commander / EDH power rankings. Let's start from the bottom, right? 1. The deck is purposely not designed to win. That's actually much clearer.
No. The deck is purposely designed not to win.
Oh, yeah, sorry. But that's much clearer than, you know, 1 to 2 in the previous one.
Yeah, this is also my... describes my Mathas deck that actually had a lot of powerful cards, but its sole purpose was to cause a draw.
Yep. number 2. The deck is built around a specific and limiting theme, and it does not aim to win. Also, you know, perfectly clear. 3. Deck is built with significant limitations. It will rarely pose a real threat to an average table. That's, you know, just being a bit gimmicky, but it's fine. 4. Deck is built with a plan, but it has interesting intrinsic or intentional limitations. 5. Deck has a clear battle plan, but it struggles to deviate from its main focus. 6. The deck has a clear battle plan, but limited range of answers. 7. Deck is focused with a clear battle plan, but it may have a hard time against other strategies. And from 4 to 7, he put this as a precon range, which is thing we mentioned a while ago.
Yeah, some precons were really just bad, and some precons are really, really good.
I mean, some precons were 3 decks smashed into one.
Yeah, and some precons had infinite win, hit infinite combos. The Prosh one.
The Prosh one definitely had one, yeah.
It had the Tooth and Claw, infinite win, infinite combo.
8. The deck is extremely focused on a battle plan, but it can be stopped by key pieces of disruption. Then we have a nice little line saying CDH threshold. The deck has multiple consistent combos and is very resilient to disruption effects. Okay, we're again touching multiple consistent combos, you know. 10. If left unchecked, the deck systematically and consistently wins within the first 3 turns of the game. What have we said, number 10 is Flash Hulk.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Okay. So, okay, again, some point, like the point 7, the deck is focused with a clear battle plan, but it may have a hard time against certain strategies. I would say that a fair amount of some competitive decks are a 7. Because they're focused, they use, like, really good cards and all, but certain strategies are just like, you run into them, you can't win. You need your answers, and if you don't get your answers, you just don't win.
I mean...
Like some Storm decks, if they run into if they run into stacks, they just don't do anything.
Yeah, but CDH is more of, you know, just a key piece of disruption. It's gonna stop you, not strategies.
Except for Flash Hulk.
I'm not actually going to Flash Hulk into the whole discussion because it doesn't actually make sense.
It's like, Flash Hulk is, then it doesn't even care if it's left unchecked. It can be checked. It's still going to do its thing.
The thing with Flash Hulk, it's more like 11 of 10.
Yeah. But it's okay. That's completely fine to have.
What I was going to say, I mean, your CDH decks needs to be, you know, resilient to disruption effects. Like, I can play if there is something like Rest in Peace with my Lesion. I can still play. You have cut off good part of my deck, but I can still, you know, do my thing.
I think it's not correct to do the power scaling thing. I think it's more of a, well, first of all, as we said, people are horrible at this.
Yep.
People are horrible, and a lot of the time they're just being plain out dishonest because they don't care.
Most of the time, some people are being dishonest to Pop Stomp because they're actually being dicks about it.
And let's just say that I think that they should, like, not scale it by the power of your deck, but scale it by what do you want from a game. Like, I think that people will be more honest when you ask them, what do you want from your pod? Do you want to, A, play for 4 hours with massive board swings? Or do you want to play for 4 turns and be done with it? So, you know, actually, this gave me an idea, and I might work on this for the next episode, but to make a, not a power scale, but enjoyability scale? A preference scale. I'll call it a preference scale.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want from a game? So you can, like, find like-minded people. Because I know people. You saw people. We all saw people that have a casual or focused deck. But we tell them, okay, we're playing competitive. And he's like, I don't care. I just want to play. And then they play with us.
I mean, I remember those guys that played with us on the C19 pre-release. Me, Philip, and Tess were going to play our CDH decks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, we want to join in. We were like, okay, we're going to be playing like this, 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 and this. Do you guys still want to join? Because they had, like, even worse than pre-con level decks. But they were like, yeah, we want to play. Okay, we played. Game ended in like a couple of turns, but what I liked was that they were like, oh my god, this is actually cool, seeing things that can happen in a Commander game.
Yeah.
They had a really good spirit. Power level, they were not supposed to be anywhere near the table, but they went in there, they knew what was going to happen, they had fun.
I mean, yeah, exactly. That's why I would more lean towards I'm not going to call it a personality test, because personality tests are, you know, things that are made by professionals, and I'm so far away from a professional. But, you know, I can try. So just to find a scale of what to expect.
I mean, if BuzzFeed can make this, so can you.
Yay. Also, we definitely need to make a... Ikori is getting dangerously close, so we need to hurry up with the fanfics for Ikori.
I mean,
before everything happens.
As soon as we have some idea what's happening.
No. We don't need any ideas of what's happening.
Okay.
So, I won't go into it, but let's just say that our ideas for Ikoria are probably a lot cooler than theirs. And, like, it's not... When they say lair of behemoths, it's not giant monsters or something like... I mean, there are giant monsters. But what do we do when faced with giant monsters? We make monsters of our own. And Ikoria is like where Urza stashed his, well, let's say unfinished mechs that he and Joyra were working on. And then like these planeswalkers come and they can actually activate them with their sparks. And then there was like giant mech battles against giant kaijus.
I'm really liking that, by the way.
So, more about that in maybe, perhaps in a future episode. We'll see. Just like, a little spoiler. Just a
I had no idea I needed this in my life, but apparently I do.
And that's why I suggested that what would be really awesome is that for Ikoria, they do a secret lair drop with giant, huge titans, but they actually pay money and get some Evangelion art on them.
That would be so much money.
Well, yeah, but they would pay it back with, you know, selling those things.
Yeah, but they would most likely need to pay up for the IP and part of the sales we have to go to.
Well, sure, to Evangelion people. You know, think of the money.
I think Wizards only think of the money.
I mean, you saw their CG trailers. That requires a bunch of money, and they could, you know, get it.
I mean, is it actually CG or is it, you know, just animating one image?
I mean, those trailers are, you know, all of those things that are in the trailers are fully rendered models and assets that can actually be used. I mean, if Wizards wanted, they can use everything they had in those trailers to use them in the game, let's say. But that maybe would cost them some extra money.
I mean, maybe we'll see it in the MMO.
We won't. We saw some early gameplay. It's not gonna look close.
I've seen nothing, so...
Yeah, let's keep it that. You can stay at that. It's not an MMO.
I'm actually good with that.
It's an ARPG.
Oh, I'm actually okay with that. I like smacking things. And I don't like spending time with people that I don't know.
Well, it's a joint experience ARPG, so you might spend it with people you don't know, or you might not. Speaking of spending time with people, I have to say that my hopes for Diablo 4 have dropped a lot. Because of the whole Warcraft refunded thing. I mean, wow.
I never had hopes for Diablo 4. Because all the people that, you know, had things to do with Diablo 2 and 1 are long gone.
Yeah, but there were still people that, after a really good work with StarCraft Remastered, were hoping that we're going to see the same level of quality uplift for Warcraft Reforged, which is arguably their second most important game they ever made. Second? Third? Yeah, I'm gonna go with third. Because, you know, first is World of Warcraft, because money. Then I'd go with StarCraft, because esports. And then Warcraft 3, because, you know, it's Warcraft 3.
I have given up all hope on, you know, on anything Blizzard.
Yeah, a lot of people did, because it's still Blizzard by name alone.
It's basic Activision.
I mean, and all the cool people from Blizzard already left, so...
Long time ago. Plus the whole, you know, Hong Kong protest things really super put me off of them.
Yeah. I mean, but hey, this is a Commander podcast. We should keep things to come. Oh, who are we kidding?
Oh yes, Niksha, because we were always on topic. Episodes when you spend 40 minutes just talking about Modern, right?
Let's just say that those were really good episodes for me.
Hey, I liked listening to that.
Well, speaking of Modern, I am trying a bit of Pioneer as well. I haven't played a lot. I had played like one tournament. But I have to say that I have some problems with Pioneer. And my primary... And this problem I found out when I started to goldfish the mono green ramp. So... When I was looking for lists for Pioneer, and I saw mono green ramp, and I was like, this uses Eldrazi, well, this uses my things I used in Tron, so I guess it's close enough to Tron, until they actually print Tron, which they could. They definitely could, it wouldn't do anything. There's enough hate for it. And I was like, okay, let's try this out. So I saw the list, I did the list, I proxied some cards, I changed some cards, and I goldfished with it, and two problems. One, that deck relies on you not having any sort of interaction for four turns. So people have to not look in your general direction for four turns, and then you go off. Secondly, it's extremely boring. It's like so boring. I gave up on the deck completely. I just don't want to touch it in any shape or form. And I noticed that trend with a bunch of Pioneer decks. They just seem so focused on a thing, so linear. The only decks that deviate from that are mid-range decks. And still... It's similar to Modern. Like, that there are some completely non-interactive decks. And some decks that have just one game plan and don't care about the opponent. But in Modern, that's kind of like an expected behavior of sorts. You go into Modern, you know that... Most likely, your opponent will try to be non-interactive. And, you know, it's your job to adapt to the meta and do things that the meta doesn't expect, I guess. You can do weird shit in Modern. Okay, you can do a whole bunch of weird stuff. And you can win. And you can
like
win.
Breach,
like
Breach Lotus?
You can put Garruk Relentless in your mono green Tron and kill people with it. I don't know. That's the kind of completely silly things you can actually get away with in Modern. Like the other day, I was looking. There was this second place deck on some major tournament in Modern. It was Grixis Death Shadow. It was actually doing the Jund version. Do you know what it had in the deck? It had four lightning elementals.
Holy crap.
So let's just be clear. This is not ball lightning. It's not the 3 red 6/1 trample haste. No. It's the 4 mana 4/1 haste. 3 and a red for a 4/1 with haste. It had four of them main deck. And I still don't understand what... I mean, if it didn't, it would probably be first, but, you know. How was that...
Why did it play those?
Nobody knows. It placed second at a tournament, and nobody knows what those
I know why. Dude, I bet you can't win if you play this card. Well, fuck you, I can win. Then
Well, maybe because it's hard to push and it's really easy to splash.
Possibly.
I mean, but you see, those are the stupid things that you can do in Modern. People don't know what the hell is going on. It was like, that's a 4-1 with haste. I don't have anything to block with. It triggers, you know, it triggers Formidable. No, Ferocious.
Ferocious.
It triggers Ferocious. There.
I mean, if you want to see weird things happening in Modern, just go watch Magic Hades' channel.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing weird stuff in Pioneer, but with a lot less success. And that's the problem I have with Pioneer. The whole R&D's new design philosophy. Like, let's look at some cards, recent cards. We have super powerful cards like Questing Beast, and then there's that Thief, that Brazen Borrower. Like, those are pushed cards, but if you just look at them basically, they're super boring. Like, Questing Beast especially. It's a 4-mana 4-4 with haste. It's basically what it does. It's a beat stick. It's a 4-4 with haste. And it has
That's hard to block.
Hard to block, and has... So it's a 4-mana 4-4 with 6 upsides. And if we compare it to Thraktusk, it's a 5-mana 5-3 with 2 upsides. But I would play a Thraktusk over a Questing Beast any day of the week. Like, 100% of the time, I would play Thraktusk more. Because not only is Thraktusk have 2 super relevant abilities, you can actually play around that Thraktusk. Play cards that flicker it, play cards that sacrifice it. You know, things that interact with tokens, with life gain. All that crazy things. While in Modern, they banned Felidar Guardian, and they're never gonna print a card that's like Felidar Guardian, ever. Just think about that. Felidar Guardian cards will never be printed into Pioneer. Or if they are printed into Standard, they will be instantly banned in Pioneer because Saheeli exists.
That makes sense.
And the whole philosophy, this new design philosophy is, they can make, if they make cards that are interesting and powerful, they get banned. Like, let's say, Oko. Oko did a bunch of, that card is a mistake, but it did a bunch of things differently. But it was pushed, so it was banned. If Oko was a -1 to transform a dude, he wouldn't be played as much.
Yeah, that would actually fix the card a lot.
I think that actually card would be playable, but it wouldn't be bonkers. Then we have fixed versions of former cards that were super broken. Like, let's say, how they made that, I can't remember what it's called, that enchantment that sacrifices a creature, and then you reveal from the top of your deck to reveal a creature. You know the one.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a fixed version of Survival of the Fittest.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And those cards are unplayable because they're just too weak. So their whole design is going to pushing cards that can actually still be pushed, like Questing Beast. And it's just, for me, that's boring. And like the whole identity of white becoming just, you know, white weenie. Or whatever they want. Again, it really kind of... I don't like it. I don't like how Pioneer is going. And that's why I'm playing the Bring to Light deck. Because it does weird things. You never know what it's actually gonna do. Well, that's what I thought at first. But now that I actually played the deck, and I actually got my Bring to Lights and my Niv-Mizzets, the deck is kind of linear, really. You just ramp into Bring to Light that goes into Niv-Mizzet and whatever happens, happens. You're already in a good board state because you have a Niv-Mizzet and you're probably going to play a Siege Rhino or two. And you just drew some cards. But the deck is still...
I was going to say, I hear some good things about some cards and getting them.
Yeah, I mean, you draw cards. That's the whole point of, you know, that deck. What I'm seeing is that... But you understand what I'm trying to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
I might not be the best to perfectly describe my feelings, but, you know, I just think that Pioneer is right now in a state where it's a fresh new format with exciting potential, but in the long run, it's gonna be a pretty boring deck, pretty boring format.
I mean, it's whenever I see Pioneer, it seems boring, the gameplay.
Yeah, because they want to make really easy to understand cards, but powerful cards.
Whenever I see a streamer playing against blue-white, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be interesting. It's not.
I mean, you can say the same thing for playing against blue-white in Modern, but, you know, in Modern, there's a bit more nuance than just that, because in Modern, there's actually a way to interact with them. And they sometimes play Factor Fiction, which is always fun to watch.
Yeah, it's not Teferi. Teferi, Narset, wipe, counter.
I mean, yeah, because Modern just has some strategies that are too powerful for that kind of playstyle, like on the Green Tron, and sometimes Grixis Death and Grixis Death Shadow,
or Storm, or whatever the hell is happening.
Yeah, there's a for people that think that Modern is stale, one of our friends, he told me that there was a decklist dump from recently of decks that had 5-0s in tournaments. There were 64 different 5-0 decks. So much for a stale format.
Yeah, you can do a bunch in Modern.
I mean, sure. Titan is really powerful. GDS is powerful. The Jund Death Shadow is powerful, but they can be beat. We have the technology. While in Pioneer, I mean, if non-interactive decks exist, well, gotta ban them. I'm thinking that we might see a ban or two in Pioneer soon.
Really? Seeing a ban in 2020, I'm surprised. they've been really trigger happy with bans last couple months. Like, as soon as somebody's unhappy with the format, blam, ban.
Yeah, but I think that ties into what I've just been ranting on for like a bit too long. But you know, content. Yay.
Also, wanna hear a really weird thing, at least for me?
That is?
Arkman Ravager, the promo version, is like 5 euros.
Yes.
Like, what the fuck? It used to be so much money.
I mean, the original still is a lot more than that. And yeah, Arkman Ravager used to be like a 20 euro card.
But then they killed it.
I mean, that's completely fine.
I mean, they killed the deck.
They killed the deck, but I have plans on bringing it back.
So I need to get 4 of these and then get like a couple of workshops, is what I'm hearing, so I can play Vintage. Because you can play a playset of Ravagers in shops still.
I am aware of that, but I...
Give it a couple of months, maybe they'll make it a singleton, because shops is becoming a singleton deck.
Yay. Because everything's restricted in it.
If you want to play Commander, go play Vintage and play basically shops.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Mishra's Workshop is your Commander, by the way.
Yeah, definitely. It always starts in your head.
Anything else you wanted to add or say?
Yeah. We actually missed one product, and that's the Challenger decks.
What's in it? Because I actually super forgot about them.
Well, we have the red one, which is arguably the best one, because it's the most well-constructed one. There's the Simic one that does have a Krassus or an Uro, but it does have one Brazen Borrower and one that Fetchland that's not a Fetchland, but is actually a Fetchland. Fabled Passage. And there are a total of two decks that have one Fabled Passage, and there's no Teferi, the three fairy. So that's kind of a, you know, come on. They could have included a three fairy and a hybrid Krassus.
Or they could not, to make it a better gameplay for everybody involved.
But still, they're okay. The Simic one has Brazen Borrower and the land. I already forgot what it's called.
Fabled Passage.
Fabled Passage. So that's value, let's say.
Value.
So yeah, some, you know, a bunch of reprints. Pretty good. And, yeah, I think that's all I had to say. The Pioneer episode.
Basically, and the power level episode.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do about that power level for next time.
Yeah, I mean, this was good way to start podcasting again after like a month.
Yeah, I had some things to say since, you know, I wasn't on for like more than a month.
Thanks again to Robert Remorse for making that list that we used to comment on. That was very nice. And is there anything else we need to say? I don't think there is.
No.
Well, this was episode 111 of the Elder Dragon Turtle podcast. This was your host, Igor, and as always with me was Niksha. Say bye, Niksha.
Bye-bye.
And as always, the Emperor protects.
For the Emperor!